But now, all singing again from your heart. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But now I'm found. Oh, I was blind. Oh, but now I see. How many of you can relate to this verse? Through many dangers. I wish we could just let the Holy Ghost have His way for a few moments here tonight.
I have.
Already come. Oh, 'twas grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. And then when we get over there, when we that when we first sing it one more time, hallelujah. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Oh, that saved a wretch like me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes. Come on, let's give Him a love offering of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Everything we have done to this point is not only to give worship to God, but to prepare our hearts for what we are about to hear. Amen. It is my great privilege to bring to this pulpit a man who is a tremendous preacher of the gospel. First met Brother White a few years ago and have been stirred and challenged every time that I have heard him preach. Amen. And I know that he is going to obey the Lord tonight and talk to our hearts. Amen. Are you going to let the Word of God get into your heart? Are you going to open your ears and let it get into your heart? Praise the Lord. Brother White, come tonight and just preach to us whatever the Lord has impressed you to preach. Amen. Are you going to help him tonight?
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you so much, Brother Alvear. And I am refreshed by what I've experienced in this service here tonight. Elder Spell turned to me and said, "You're going to get it a little bit later tonight." But he said, "Don't worry about it. Take your time."
That's right.
Well, I'm just trying to see if I can get a witness besides him. Hallelujah. Amen. Since he's the one that controls the air conditioning around here, you ought to be happy. Amen. To have a comfortable place like this to be in. Amen. And I have certainly been blessed today. Brother Gross kept telling us that was just by way of introduction today, if that was the appetizer. Amen. I promise you, you're in for some good cooking this week. Amen. Turn with me in your Bible, if you will. I'm reading from the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 19, if you will. And I want to read to you there a very familiar story. 19th chapter of the book of Acts. And let's look together, beginning at verse number 11. Acts chapter 19 and verse number 11. And the Word of God reads, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priest, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together, burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." I want to talk to you tonight, amen, on an aspect of revival. And I trust that I'm in a place and among people that believe in apostolic revival. Amen. Amen. I hope I am, because if I'm not, you're going to make me uncomfortable tonight, and I'm going to make you uncomfortable tonight. Hallelujah. But I want to preach to you about Satan's work during an apostolic revival. Satan's work during an apostolic revival. Hallelujah. He knows when to show up. He knows when to try to get something shut down. Amen. And he's busy working, but we know the power that overcomes all of that, don't we? Let's pray together. God, in Jesus' name, love and praise and thanksgiving, oh God, I'm trusting you now for the empowerment of the Spirit. Oh, righteous God, move and bless in a great way, God. Oh, Redeemer, 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 I believe you, Lord. I believe you, righteous God. I believe you, mighty God. Hallelujah. 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 Talk to our hearts tonight, God. Use me, I pray, Lord, for the cause of your kingdom. Every saint of God, every church that's represented here. Oh, God, send apostolic revival in our midst. I believe you and trust you, God. in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The mere mention of the name of verbal being is something that evokes a respect and a love and an appreciation to all of us apostolic believers. Amen. For the great champion of faith that he was and the way that God used him in such a great way. From coast to coast, I don't know all of the states in between, but I have heard some of those stories and reports from pastors here in the South about the great revivals that were preached and the powerful moves of God that took place. My Cummings are from California, and I have also preached in many, many churches out there that can trace back a spiritual breakthrough of a time that transpired in their church, that carried their church a quantum leap forward when he was there in revival, and things that were broken loose in the spirit, and how that God added 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 and 100 souls to be added unto the church in just a short amount of time. And oh my, how we rejoice and thank God for that. But some way today while I was praying, I thought, oh God, I just simply refuse to believe that God's plan for apostolic revival died some two decades ago in a car wreck not too far from here. I can't help but believe that the Almighty God is still in the revival business. Hallelujah. The Almighty God is still interested in setting a church on fire with a blaze of the glory of God that causes hell to tremble when she realizes what is happening, amen, within the womb of that church and what God is fixing to do through them as they plug in to the power supply that is there. Let me tell you, friend, the adversary of our soul is an awful, wily, wily creature. Amen. He is one that is well aware and is oftentimes there to nip in the bud anytime and every time that the climate just starts to get right for an outpouring of the Spirit of God and a church to break through. And go forward like it has never done before. Amen. I live in Los Angeles, and most people think it's all a concrete jungle. There is plenty of that around there, but I'm just blessed. The area where I live backs up against some hills that just go in hundreds and thousands of acres of property without any buildings that are on there. And so we get all of the wild animals that are a part of that vegetation that come down from the mountains, and they get pretty accustomed to population, and they're just not quite as fearful as you would think. And I watched an old coyote coming up the other day, and it looked to me like that he had helped himself in times past to our dog named Big Dan. My boys somehow, amen, after they listen to the tape of where the red fern grows, they made sure that it was a male dog, and they named him Big Dan. And so Big Dan, it looked like, had shared his plate a few times with that old coyote. Probably when he wasn't chained up and he was elsewhere. But that coyote just came right on up, just acting like, hey, it's dinner time, bub, move over. Could you share a little bit with me here today? And Big Dan started growling at him, looking at him, guarding the plate that's there. And I thought, you dumb coyote, I'm not paying for your food, too. Bad enough to pay, amen, for the food of a dog and two boys. You can't get to do any household chores. So I picked up a rock and thought, I'm going to get rid of this coyote real quick. He ain't never coming back again. And I let go with two or three rocks, missed him on every time. And he was jumping and dancing. He looked like he had been shot at. He ran up the hill like I ain't never coming back again. A couple hours later, I was back out in the yard, amen, and I noticed that rascal had circled all the way around the hill, and he was coming in from the other side now, and he had old Big Dan trained to watch for him on that hillside side where he had normally come from, and now he was sneaking up on the other side, amen, convinced that if I can't get in one way, I'm going to get in the other way. Hallelujah. Hey, the adversary of your soul is smarter than any coyote ever thought about being. And he is determined that if he can't get an apostolic church throttled in one way, he's going to throttle them up in another way. He's going to sneak around in a way that they're not on the lookout for. And he will come to do his dirty work there. Amen. When you read about the Apostle Paul and the church at Ephesus, my friend, it just evokes images in our mind of a trouble-free church. It was nothing like Corinth with all of its menagerie of problems and sin and iniquity that was there. It seemed like the dream church for anybody to pastor. Ephesus quickly became the Jerusalem for the Gentiles. It became the central focus point of all of the non-Jews because of the mighty move of God that was taking place there at Ephesus. That book of Ephesians is full of grandeur and glory and beauty and power and majesty and heavenly places that they were in, my friend. But I tell you that the 19th chapter of the book of Acts took place, amen, at Ephesus. It took place at that city that later exploded in such marvelous revival. And the text tells us that there were evil spirits that were at work doing their very best to divert away what God was wanting to do there at the church at Ephesus. I want you to see a very important part of Satan's work during an apostolic revival is spiritual fakes. Uh-huh. We don't spend a lot of time even watching the coyote from that angle. Even seeing what he's up to. Now, you read in your Bible, and I read it too, my friend. And there, it's hard to know the fine line when the Bible talks about magi in Matthew chapter 2. Referring to the wise men from the east that came and bowed down at Bethlehem's manger. But exactly the same word, not a different word at all, is used for sorcerers throughout the New Testament. Acts chapter 13, one named Bar-Jesus. and the Bible identifies him as a sorcerer. And this very fine line, the same word used for a vulgar magician is used for the true wise men that are there. And thank God that there are men of God, that there are pastors that have the spiritual discernment with God to be able to know the difference and identify, amen, those that are magi from hell, those that are involved in Satan's work trying to stop your local church from taking the next step that may be the greatest step that has ever been taken by that congregation. There are men of God that are able to see and understand. And I confess to you tonight, amen, I'm not always as keen as I should be in that area. Not too long back, a few years back, our church and God had blessed us, but we certainly hadn't broken through some of the barriers that needed to be broken through. And I invited a good godly man of God to come and preach at our church, and a man that I knew was gifted in the discerning of spirits, and I wanted him to help me. I wanted him to plug in, and daily we would pray together and seek after God, amen, to know what to do and how to go forward for God. And suddenly one night during service, I'm fixing to introduce him to preach, and I look out, and in walks in some visitors, three young men walk in the door. One of them I knew, he had been coming off and on for some time. The other two I figured were guests of his, that he had brought a lot of visitors to our church. And all of a sudden, as they walked in the door, this godly man began to pace like a wild caged animal, back and forth across the platform. And he went over to my wife on the organ, and he said, "The devil just walked in here tonight." My wife said, "Oh, okay. Amen." And I thought, oh, Jesus, he doesn't like this long introduction I'm giving today. He wants to get to the pulpit. And so I quickly introduced him to the pulpit. And he stepped up to the pulpit. He said, "Church," he said, "I want you to all pray with me." He said, "The devil just walked in here tonight in this church service." And he said, "I am here to tell you that we need to pray together that if they try in any way to hinder what God wants to do around here, that God will strike them dead in front of us." Jesus, I ain't never prayed that prayer before in my life. Now, there's been some folks I prayed, "Lord, don't let them suffer." But there ain't ever been anybody that I know of that I prayed, "God, kill them." I mean, just kill them right here in front of us. I thought, ooh, man, I don't know. Well, I'm going to try. And we prayed a little bit, and he stopped us. He said, "Oh, no, you don't believe me. What's happening?" And he started in, brother, amen, telling them of where they'd been and what they'd done and how deeply involved in satanic practices that they had been. I thought, oh God, amen, I never knew that, never dreamed that. And he said, "Church, we're really going to pray now. We're really going to pray that God will do it. Something needs broken in this church," he said, "and we're going to pray for it." And brother, we bowed and started praying, and those three jokers hit the door on a dead run.
couple of the ushers followed him out to the platform, or out to the parking lot, and they told me that it was the most hilarious sight that they'd ever seen. Amen. They flew down the steps, got out to the edge of the parking lot, and they started yelling at one another. Amen. They started pushing each other, saying, "Why'd you look at that preacher that way? I didn't look at him. You must have done it. Why did you do that?" And they actually started duking it out in the parking lot. I mean, they started throwing blows one of another. And finally, one of them said, "We're a bunch of dummies. At least we better get off of this parking lot before that prayer is concluded in there. We might all die right here. We gotta get out of here." And they took off running. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. After service, that brother sat down with me and began to explain to me some things. He said, "I'm going to tell you something. Amen. You're a good pastor that loves people and wants to try to work with anybody and everybody. And you're just determined that you're going to try your best to keep preaching to anyone that wants to come for as long as they want to come." But he said, "This is a trap of Satan that Satan has designed that they would come." He said, "I'm telling you, they bring a lot of visitors, don't they?" I said, "Man, you wouldn't believe how many visitors they brought to our church in the last year. It's a preacher's dream." He said, "No, sir, it's a preacher's nightmare, because they've all been involved in the same business, and they are determined that they are going to disrupt the revival that God wants to give to your city and to your local congregation. And somehow," he said, "they won't be back as long as I'm here." But he said, "A few services after I'm gone," he said, "you mark my word, they're going to come sheepishly back in the back door of the church, probably have some visitors in tow, and they're going to see if they can get back to business as usual, and see if somehow you have got what it takes, amen, to stand up in front of them, in front of the whole congregation, amen, and expose them for who they are and what they are and what they're doing." He said, "And until that, he said, "it won't happen." I said, "Brother, let me tell you a part of the story that you might not know." Amen. I said, "Let me tell you about those guys. There's two of them that I know. Only one was there that night. Another came with some other friends another night." I said, "Those two guys showed up one day at our church and they told me the story of the last church that they came from." I said, "That church at one time was the greatest revival church, apostolic holiness, all the way in the L.A. basin that there was in all of this area. And those two guys attended there for a long time. But they came over after that church had all slid all the way down, gone totally charismatic. They came over, amen, determined." We read it. It called them vagabond Jews, didn't it? "They came over determined that they needed stronger holiness preaching. That they needed a pastor that would take the stands for righteousness and godliness and the things that are true blue. I said, brother, in the last few years, that church they were a part of went through hell on earth. The pastor and his wife split up. They went through every kind of imaginable problem over there. And those guys were right in the big middle of it. He said, Brother White, I would to God that you would understand. But hell sent them to Burbank to try to duplicate the same exact thing here at this church. Amen. Let me tell you, friend, when we wrestle with spirits and principalities, amen, the greatest time is during an apostolic revival when the Almighty God is trying His best to birth another Ephesus. Amen. To give birth to another great apostolic church for the glory and the honor of the Lord. And the enemy is there to fight tooth and toenail against us. You say, oh, pastor, I don't know anybody in our congregation that's been drinking cat's blood. I don't know anybody going to seances. Let me tell you what Samuel said. He said, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. He said, watch the life of Saul, friend. What started out as simple disobedience led to full-blown rebellion and ended up at a witch's house down in a city named Endor. I'm here to tell you, friend, the devil is doing everything in his power to cut off the waterworks to apostolic revival in this last day and hour that we're living in. But I'm proclaiming to you tonight, he ain't gonna do it. The Almighty God is gonna help His church. Hallelujah. It's not just the large cities of America, but the rural areas where there's schoolyard massacres that are taking place all across our land. Let me tell you, friend, amen, teenage suicide is not an accident. Amen. Every time you read of a suicide, I'm not saying they were demon-possessed, but I am telling you, demons had something to do with it. They had something to do with that. Amen. Convincing them to go ahead and do that. You say, pastor, amen, is it things that you know about? Yes, I do. Amen. I've seen it twice within my local congregation. I know what it's like, amen, to come into the family and there, after the mothers had to watch her son hold the pistol to the roof of his mouth and blow his brains onto the ceiling above. I know what it's like to come and see a mother, amen, walk in the door and find her boy in the bathtub having slit his own throat with the Bible opened up. I'm telling you, rebellion is not something to be played with. It's not something to play footsie around the church of the living God. There are real live hordes of demonic spirits that are being released in our world. Amen. To a greater degree and magnitude than I believe has ever been before. Hallelujah. But the Bible said that there were these fellas. There was a whole group of them. They were called vagabond Jews. Now, we can talk about the charismatics all we want. We can talk about the Trinitarians all we want. And we can talk about how they do and just where they flock and flood to whoever's the hottest singing group and whatever's the latest building and who's got this going and that going. But the Bible clearly tells us these folks weren't Trinitarians. They were Jews. They were one God folk. They believed one God from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. These were one God, vagabond Jews. The Bible said they had a daddy by the name of Sceva, who was the chief of the priests. Oh, yeah. Don't get too quiet on me here tonight. Hallelujah. I know this last hour that we're living in. Amen. There's a whole lot of deception that's happening. And a whole lot of churches. Amen. That are going back on what they preached, what they stood for. And I'm here to tell you without any hesitation. Amen. If you're a part of a church and your pastor starts backing up, you need to back up your U-Haul trailer and say, I'm out of here. I want to save my family. I want to save my kids. I've got to save them. I've got to go somewhere. Amen. Where truth will be stood for and righteousness will be declared. But brother, let me tell you something. If that happens to you, you better fast and pray that the spirit of the vagabond Jew doesn't get on you and get on your children. Amen. You better say, my God, amen, get me and plant me. Plant me in a church where righteousness is and let me live there the rest of my days. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, hell is having a heyday with all the church hopping that happens among the vagabond Jews. The enemy is thrilled with all of the confusion that it brings to a youth group. All of the confusion that it brings to those that are striving to live right. Let me tell you, Mr. Sceva, hey man, you had enough sense to know what to do or not to do. But your seven sons, the sad part about it is the children are always the losers. You hear me? They are always the losers, my friend. Hey man, there's no farmer in the world that's good enough to grow a crop on moving soil. You ain't ever met one. My, it's getting quiet around here. Some of you act like I'm out of the book. I'm telling you, I'm in the Bible. I'm in our favorite book of the Bible. The book of the Acts of the Apostles. Oh, hallelujah. We need to get something in the heart of our babies, of our teenagers that said, get your roots down. Get a home church. No nickel an hour for a job. It's going to cause you to move away. Amen. Get planted and be fruitful and grow for the kingdom of God. But vagabond Jews were spiritual fakes. I've learned, forgive me, I don't know anybody in Louisiana's situation, but I've learned that everybody that tells me, I want you as my pastor. I want you, you'll stand for righteousness and holiness. I've learned to watch that coyote from the other side of the hill. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm sorry if I'm too blunt for you tonight. Amen. I've learned. And here, those seven, boy, them seven decided we're really going to strut our spiritual stuff. We're going to show what we got. Now, the Bible said they were inside of a house. So seven big, burly young men in a house cornering one person. Some of you are pretty tough, but I doubt that seven, amen, had you backed in a house. We couldn't take care of you. Uh-huh. And here they are, putting their stuff, strutting it out there. Them Pentecostal magicians, brother. They're ready to roll and to show you how much of the power and the Spirit of God is flowing through them. And they get him backed up into a corner. Yeah. We're going to cast the devil slap dab out of you, fella. Woo! Look out! Bible said they called over him the name of Jesus. And somehow that demon-possessed fella wasn't impressed. Somehow it just didn't leave him shaking in his shoes. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Spiritual fakes, all their power is in their own imagination. Amen. It ain't nowhere to be found in hell or heaven. Amen. And there they were. And the Bible said, the fella hollered back and said, Paul, I know. Oh, yeah. And Jesus, I know. But who are you? Let me stop long enough to tell you. Amen. Hell not only knows Jesus, but hell knows those that are close to Jesus. Hell knows those that are plugged into him, and they don't know anybody else. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe it hadn't happened to you. Amen. But the scripture tells us that demon-possessed damsel was walking along behind Paul, and she was crying out, "These are the servants of the Most High God." She knew it, friend. She knew it. I've walked through psychiatric wards of hospitals before. And I'm not saying everybody in there is full of devils. But friend, if you ever been in them, some of them are, I guarantee you. And I've walked through as they ushered me in to see somebody. Amen. And those that were calm and sedate sitting there, standing there, started growling, started backing up. Amen. Started looking around and hollering out things. And the workers at the hospital would say, "Reverend, do you know them? Do you know this one?" I said, "No, I don't know them, but they must know me." Hallelujah. You're in good company, friend. Amen. When the demons recognize, amen, that you're somebody that's got a relationship with the power that is greater than any power that hell can produce. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, oh, I wish I had been there to saw. Don't you? That one demon-possessed fella started walking the log of all seven of them fellas. Ooh, yeah. That'd have been fun to see, wouldn't it? Amen. Them old spiritual fakes being exposed for what they really were. for what they really claimed to have, and they didn't have an ounce of it. And the Bible said, amen, that they stripped, that demon-possessed man stripped their clothes off, wounded them. Amen. They took out, yeah, there were streakers in the Bible. They took off all seven of them. Amen. Running naked down through the streets of the city, saying, I've got to get as far away from there as I possibly can get. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I'm telling you, my Bible said that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if we got the goods, my friend, it's time for us to stand up to the spiritual fakes. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I must tell you tonight before I finish that there are two opposing kingdoms that are actively at work, amen, for the time.
You hear me? Satan's kingdom is built on carnal knowledge. It happened in the Garden of Eden. It was the tree of the knowledge of both good and evil. If you've ever accidentally stumbled into the New Age section at a bookstore, undoubtedly you will see on the covers of some of them the garden with the tree in the middle of it. And Satan's kingdom is built on the more knowledge that you obtain about black magic or white magic or whatever working of the occult practices. It's all built upon knowledge. How much knowledge that you have in it determines the deeper that you go into it and the amount of power that you have to use it and to project it upon other people. But I'm here to tell you tonight, God's kingdom has never been built upon carnal knowledge. Satan's kingdom was built on knowledge, but God's kingdom, Brother Gross, thank you, amen, that you're going to be on it this week. God's kingdom is built on relationship. Relationship. He said, them demons said, boys, you might know how to call that name of Jesus out. You might know how to wave the wand just like Paul did and expect the same results. But you ain't plugged in with a relationship with the Almighty God. And there's no power behind what you're trying to do. Hallelujah. 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 Elijah had a servant that he was training for the ministry, the prophetic ministry that was going to follow after him. Read it in your Bible, friend. Amen. You talk about training in the gifts of the Spirit. Training as to how to get it done. Elisha, he wasn't like some folks I know saying, come on now, I lack in the know-how of how I'm supposed to do this, of how I'm supposed to get it accomplished. Can we have a seminar? Can we have a special training session? Can we have some practice time on one another as to how to work and move in the supernatural? No, 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 my friend. He didn't say, hey, Elijah, one of these days you're going to be out of here. And I've yet to touch that mantle and to know just how to fold it. So when I need a shortcut across the Jordan River, I don't want to have to carve out a boat from a log to get across.
Could you give me a little train and OJT? Would you give it to me? And let me just practice a time or two. Woo! Out here by the river. So I'll know just how to get the job done. I'm lacking in this know-how stuff. And I need to get a grip on it. Amen. And say, when you get all done with that, I notice you specialize in pyrotechnics. You specialize in bringing fireworks down from heaven. I ain't never had a bit of experience in doing that. Could you show me just what I'm supposed to do? Amen. When I want the fire to fall down out of heaven upon Mount Carmel, you know, I might be there like you were. Amen. And you manage to know just how to do it. When them companies of 50 came around you, amen, and they're trying to stop you from getting the work of God done, and you just made a bunch of crispy critters out of them, amen. I watched, it goes zzz, boom. He said, now I need a little training, Bubba, would you mind? You've always kept me away from the school of the prophets. How are you expecting me to be a prophet if you won't even let me rub shoulders with all those wannabes that are over there? And now you ain't giving me any of the know-how that I need to have to how I can get the juice flowing and the fireworks to falling. Woo! Satan's kingdom is built on know-how. Satan's kingdom is built on knowledge. Amen. But God's kingdom is built on relationship. Hallelujah. Elisha, you ain't got nothing to worry about. You get plugged in to the same God that I'm plugged in with. And every time you need the power, He'll be there for you. Every time you need the glory, He'll be there for you. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Satan's work in an apostolic revival is trying to convince you and I that there's more important things to do than to lock ourselves in the church house and spend, amen, the day or the night alone with our God. He's trying to convince us that we need some little help along the way and some book and some formula and some plan that will pump us all up and teach us how to get it done God's way. Elisha could have said, now in case I ever run up against anybody that's got leprosy, what river would you recommend I send them to? No. Now, how about underwater salvage operations? Could you train me a little bit in that? Amen. Because there might be an axe head one day that falls off the handle and goes down in the water. And I'm going to need to know how to salvage that baby out of there. That borrowed axe. Now, what kind of stick should I use? And how should I do it? Hey, how about food poisoning? You never covered that area with me, Bubba. You never told me about it. Amen. How much salt should I put in when they say there's death in the pot? Could you train me in all of the operation of the gifts of the Spirit so I can do it? I'm telling you, I'm so sick of that hogwash. Amen. Up to my eyeballs with it all. I'm telling you, that's how Satan's kingdom operates. But God's kingdom is built upon a man of God. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. You get a powerful relationship with the Almighty God, and God will use you to break the back of heaven. Hallelujah. It's built on relationship. I'm going to tell you a couple of things and I'm going to close. Amen. A new convert received the Holy Ghost. Oh, I get so tired of hearing people talk about, amen, well, in Pentecost and in apostolic churches, it's not, you know, what you know, it's who you know. And it's who your daddy was. And it's who, if you'll get all the breaks and this, that, and the other. None of that impresses God in the slightest. Hallelujah. None of that impresses the Almighty God. He's interested in the newest convert that said, God, I gotta get close to you today. I gotta, amen, pull up in your lap. Amen, and snuggle up by your breast. I've gotta hear a word from the Lord today. I've gotta spend some time in prayer. New convert had just received the Holy Ghost and only been coming just a couple of services. Amen. And got up one night and said, oh, she said, you know, yesterday was the worst day since I got the Holy Ghost. Said the devil was just all after me. And just, oh, it was something else. And said, I couldn't remember what you folks had told me about that formula of those words that you were supposed to say. I couldn't remember that phrase about nuke you in Jesus' name. Or we all nodded, you know, that's, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Amen. She said, I couldn't think of it. I just didn't know how to say it like y'all are supposed to say it. She said, but oh, I got so sick of it. She said, I didn't know how else to say it. She said, I just at the top of my voice. She said, I looked at the devil and said, get back, Jack, in Jesus' name. Woo! She said, guess what, church? He got back. He got back. I'm telling you, it's your relationship with God that gives you the power to use the name of Jesus. Woo! Somebody's getting a hold of it. Somebody's getting on to it. Somebody, my God, I want apostolic revival. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Be seated. Someone come to the music. I'll never forget when God first called me to preach. Amen. And I had friends that were getting invitations to go here, there, everywhere. Friends that, amen, doors were just opening up for them and they were so desirable to go and work as a youth leader and work here in full-time ministry here and doing this, that, and the other. And I kept looking in the mirror every day wondering, what's wrong with me, God? What's wrong with me? Amen. One day in service, I watched and saw with my very own eyes a missionary from overseas told a story, and I'll never forget the impact that it had on me. Told the story of the guerrillas, the communists that were coming in, and there they were disrupting the churches, the services, and literally killing and slaughtering them with automatic weapons and dragging them out. And as those rebels came close to that church building, all of the mamas and the dads began to pray and seek after God. And one little 11-year-old girl, amen, who had a relationship with God. A daily prayer life. Strong in reading the Word. Faithful and committed to the Almighty God. saw what was fixing to happen, and she walked out to the front steps of that church and stood on the front steps of that church and held out her finger and pointed at all of them rebels and said, "In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus." And the rebels smirked and opened fire with their weapons. And that missionary was holding up that little shirt that had bullet holes all in the little shirt that was there, more than I could count, and held it up there and said, "Not one of those bullets penetrated her body." She stood there and stood her ground and said, "In Jesus' name, get out of here. In Jesus' name, get out of here." And finally, when they saw that their bullets weren't going to get the job done, they took around and ran with all of their might, fearing the wrath of the Almighty God. I purposed in my heart that day at the altar, "God, it's not how well I'm ever known in Pentecostal circles that will make one bit of difference. Amen. With the power that I have against the kingdom of hell. It's do I have a relationship with the Almighty God? Am I plugged in to the power supply that will break through the forces of hell?" For apostolic revival. I'm telling some of you here tonight, you don't have to wait till there's gray hair on top of your head to get the demons to start trembling every time you walk by. And dear pastor, it's pastoring 5 or 10 or 15 or 20, struggling, wondering if heaven even knows your name. Why your church hasn't grown like you wished it would grow. I promise you, you get that relationship and you keep it solid, because the kingdom of God does not operate on a seniority system. It does not operate by how many generations of blue blood Pentecost you got flowing through your veins. All it operates by is how close are you to Jesus. How plugged into His power supply there is apostolic revival at the end of this millennium. I'm preaching it to you, friend. I believe it with all of my heart. We've got to recognize Satan's work and how he's tried to move in for the breakthrough at Ephesus to happen again, again. You're looking at a preacher that wants it with all of my heart. I'm sorry. I'm not satisfied to hear you tell me the stories of how it used to happen. Save your breath. I want you to please take me into the inner sanctum with the Almighty God and show me how that I can get the relationship with Him that I need to recognize Satan's work, to rise above it all. This church is going out of here with a shout. No, some of you might not believe it. This church is going out of here red hot. God's church is going out of here in a blaze of glory. God's church is going to be thriving, alive and well when the trumpet sounds. Stand with me together. Lift your voice to heaven right now. Blessed God, blessed God. Would you help us, Lord? Would you help us, God, to be a part, oh God, of an Ephesus revival in every city, in every town, in every parish. Oh my God, my God, my God. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. You say, Brother White, I confess my relationship with God is not as close as it used to be. I don't care how many one God scriptures you can quote, dear friend. That's only half of the first commandment. The other half demands that you have more than head knowledge of there only being one God. That you've got relationship. That you love Him with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Oh, hallelujah. Maybe you're here. I know the hour is late. But dear God, is there anybody here that would want to be a part of bringing an Ephesus revival to your church? I want you to come and gather around this altar for a moment of prayer and seek the face of God. God, give me a relationship with you that will cause hell to tremble. Lead us in a chorus, Brother Spell. Come on, come on. Satan's working. He's working feverishly. He's working with all of his might and power to destroy what God wants to do in your city. Oh, God. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm not praying like I used to pray. Oh, God. I'm not fasting like I used to fast. Oh, God, I'm not lingering in your presence the way I used to linger. Oh, God. Come on, saints. Come on. Come on. You don't need more knowledge. No. No. Come on. Come on. Come on. Oh, God. Oh, God. Gotta get closer to you, Lord. I gotta get closer to you, God. I gotta get closer. Oh, God. Yes, I do, Lord. Oh, oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, God, the days of revival are not over. Not over. They're not over. They're not over. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. You're still looking. You're still longing. Oh, mighty God. For those that will be shut in with you. Oh, God. Hallelujah. What about your relationship? What about it? Where's it at tonight? Where is it drifted from? Oh, God. Oh, God. I want the power. I want the glory. I want the souls. Oh, God. Oh, God. But it only comes. It only comes through relationship. I can't mimic what another preacher does. I can't learn the tricks of the trade. It's not in the know-how. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh. Oh.
Of the cross.
Still
get back to that place. Back to that place.
My soul.
Oh, God. My relationship with God.
Near
the only place the power comes from.